Our Old Testament reading is from Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong the life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and humankind. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to God, and he will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruit of your crops. Then all your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. Here is a reading. May the Lord bless it to our hearts and minds today. Well, this morning I want to talk about a father's love and qualities of a great father. But first I want to get started with something a little humorous. I heard about this hospital where four businessmen were waiting while their wives were delivering babies. So the nurse comes out to the first businessman and said, "Congratulations, sir. Your wife just had one baby." And the man says, "What a coincidence. I'm the president of N1. The nurse goes away, and then she comes back a little while later and she said to the second businessman, "Congratulations, your wife had twins." And the man said, "I can't believe that. I'm the manager of the Minnesota Twins." So the nurse went away, she comes back, and the third businessman, "Congratulations, your wife had triplets." He said, "What a coincidence. I work for Triple Crown." A few minutes later, the nurse comes back, and the fourth businessman is there, and he's kind of crying, and he's all upset. And she said, "What's wrong?" He said, "I work for 7-Up. I don't know. But in any case, one of my greatest joys, I think really the greatest joy in all my life, is to be a father, and I love spending time with my daughter Savannah, and we have some special things planned for later today, but really each and every day is special with her, and I know that other fathers feel the same way. Of course, we've been doing a series on family, and looking at what the Bible has to say about truths or qualities of parenting and grandparenting, we looked at a mother's love, and there we looked at Proverbs 31, one of the great chapters in the Bible. And in fact, it's one of the chapters that we know was written by a woman. Well, how do we know that? Because it says so. It says it's written by a woman, the mother of Lemuel. And we looked at qualities of grandparenting, and we looked at, last week, about just sort of general parenting qualities, and again, looked to Proverbs. And I suggested during that course of that even though there aren't very many good role models, if you think about it in the Bible, as parents. I mean, David wasn't the best parent, and Saul certainly wasn't, and we don't see that picture in any of the disciples, really. We know Peter was a father, but we don't get a glimpse of his fatherhood. But there is one book in the Bible that really is all about parenting, and that's the book of Proverbs. And sometimes we just think it's a sort of a list of sayings that are so erudite. They're just all about being really smart or whatever, but it's really practical wisdom, and it's about parenting. And it's great to share those things. Now, you can't read it from cover to cover with your children, or you'll sort of put them to sleep. Actually, in Proverbs, it says, don't overdo it, but along the way in life, along the road, and at dinner, in different times and places, take a moment and share with your children. So as you walk the road, and as you eat, and as you get up and you sleep, just take a moment and share a little piece of wisdom. And Proverbs chapter 3 and chapter 4, just pieces of that, and suggest four qualities of a father. And really want to do is to look at what Proverbs has to offer us, and not just fathers, of course, but there's obviously some great principles as any parent, mother or father. But I want to take a first look at the principle that good fathers are men of truth. And today, when you look around in culture and you look in the news, there are so many successful men, successful fathers who've made a fortune, and they make more money than you could know what to do with in a year or a life. And then all of a sudden, they get caught up in something that was unscrupulous, that was wrong. And they end up losing everything, especially their reputation. And you wonder why they did it. Really, for another success, because they had enough money. It wasn't because they were poor. They were successful, and they wanted to be more successful and better than someone else. And they lose the character of their life. And I think, as fathers, one of the most important things we can do is to be men of truth. that our word is our word and that our character is true. And all of us fall short of being perfect. That's certainly true. But to really make our word the way it is, and if we make a mistake, to be transparent enough to say that we've done something wrong and ask for forgiveness and ask someone to for the opportunity to make it right. And I think we also need to be men that are about truth with a capital T. In other words, the ultimate truth in life. And so many people, we take care of the basics and we get absorbed in that, and we home and car, and we think about college and all those kinds of things. But there's such a deep hungering in all of us for what are the ultimate truths in life. Now, we're also intimidated by that, right? Because for any of us, when we talk about the ultimate truth in life, there's a lot of pressure in that. And it's true that none of us know all that, but we can talk about that in a way that we've experienced the most important things in life. And listen for a moment. In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 and following again, I'm going to use son and daughter. I don't think it really matters, but it says, "My son or my daughter, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and humanity. Trust in the Lord with all your heart." One of the great verses of the Bible. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge God, and he will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring wealth to your body and nourishment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruit of your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing." You think about this father that maybe doesn't have all the answers to life, but knows what first things need to be first in life, and to share the deep things of our heart. And even if you don't have that, to be able to read sometimes and read a few verses of the Proverbs, maybe in the morning or nighttime before bed or whatever, or around the table, or just in a moment to read those together and to think about those things. Because sometimes it isn't the answer, just taking the time to think with our sons and daughters about what are the most important things in life. And let them go ahead and try to speak and to articulate what they think are the most important things in life. Because it's important what they think, and it's important that the questions they have, even if we don't have the answers, that we take the time to listen to that. So fathers are hopefully men of truth in their life and in their character. And then fathers are tough. Now, I think this is the one that we're most used to, because we come in a culture in which real men are tough guys and all that, and we look on the TV, we think about toughness. And we also think about the role of the father as disciplinarian. Because I know when I grew up, and many of you are this way too, that my mother, who worked as well, but we would do some things wrong, and then we just sort of step across the line, and she said, "Just wait till your father gets home." And we knew, oh man. So the rest of the day, we were really good, hoping that she would not tell my dad what we did wrong. But we knew that wasn't going to happen, and he'd get right to the point. Now, as a father, the first thing you want to don't want to do when you come home is really be the disciplinarian, but it just ends up being you because you're the ultimate threat. I don't know if that's really the case anymore, but we think about the father's role as sort of the tougher person as being a disciplinarian, and parents need to discipline their kids. And I mentioned last week that I think that the most important thing, I'm not a big person on corporal punishment, I know sometimes kids are, you know, especially young boys kind of need a certain sort of boundaries, but the important thing is we have boundaries that have consequences. And when we step across the boundaries, we said that something's going to happen, but we try to be firm about that. And that way, as kids grow up, it's small things at first, and it grows to bigger things. But if they don't meet the consequences of those boundaries, then things get bigger and bigger. And one night you get a call, maybe a person's drinking and driving, or something worse happens, and then the consequences of the law come down on the person. So we need to, along the line, sort of teach the consequences. And one of the verses we always talk about is this one from Proverbs, this section. But I want you to notice that this is sort of couched in the context is really one of wisdom and building character. So when you place it in the context, it really gets the right weight. So listen from verse 11 and following in chapter 3. "My son or daughter, do not despise the Lord's discipline and do not resent God's rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves. As a father, the son, he delights it." In other words, there's a kind of coaching aspect to that. The father delights in his son or daughter, and there is discipline that builds character. "Blessed are those who find wisdom, those who gain understanding. For wisdom is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. She is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. Wisdom's ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life. To those who take hold of her, those who hold fast to her will be blessed. By wisdom, the Lord laid the foundations. By understanding, he set the heavens in place. What a beautiful context that is the kind of toughness that comes from this is what wisdom's about, and you need to build a foundation for life that's going to last all the tests and trials and adversity in life. And I think if we come at the discipline that way, to become that this is trending towards building wisdom and character and virtue in our lives, and that's the most important thing. And it's not easy, and none of us are perfect, but that toughness needs to be part of certainly men and also women, but this is Father's Day. So, better men of truth and men of toughness, and then fathers are also tender. I think this is the tougher aspect for a lot of us. Some of us grew up in a culture which, real men don't cry or shed any tears or maybe even they don't come. But when you look back in ancient Near Eastern times, the father was the primary role to provide and protect. Women tended to nurture and sustain, and so that was a stronger role. And those roles have balanced out. It's interesting, though. Studies have shown that, men tend to be more assertive early on. I know this is changing, women more nurturing. Once men cross 50 or 55, it starts to change. Many of you may have noticed this. That women become more assertive and men become more nurturing. So, guys, if you notice your wife has become a little more assertive, you're not alone. So, but it's interesting how we balance out in life. And many grandparents become, grandfathers become very nurturing, and grandmothers sometimes become more assertive. You have to sort of find your place. But I think real men are also tender, not just tough. And when you look at Jesus is a perfect example of, I think, really, or a man's man, if you will, that's both tough and tender. Jesus was a carpenter back when, this is before power tools, and I noticed all the guys on the roof yesterday, pretty tough one up that steeple, not an easy thing. And so Jesus grew up in a carpenter shop doing those kinds of things, and he had many disciples who were fishermen. So he's a tough person, but also had a tender heart. And Jesus invited the children and said, "Hinder not the children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of God." And he blessed the little tender, and the children had that tenderness of heart. And then also said that we should pray to God as Abba Father. Abba being the term for dad in that world, and a very endearing term. Listen to these words from Proverbs chapter 4 that really have a tender part to them. It says, "Listen, my sons and daughters, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. I give you sound learning, so do not forsake my teaching. For I, too, was a son to my father, still tender and cherished to my mother. Then he taught me and he said to me, 'Take hold of my words with all your heart. Keep my commandments and you will live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget my words or turn away from them. Do not forsake wisdom and she will protect you. Love her and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom, though it cost all you have, and get understanding. Cherish wisdom, and she will exalt you. Embrace her, and she will give you honor. She will be a garland around your head and a glorious crown upon your head." What beautiful words of kind of a tenderness. And listen, I was a son too. I was a young person too. And I know the struggles, but trust me, this is so important. And so we need to be men that are not only tough, but tender. The story really speaks well to this, and it's a story from Ted Kruger. He writes this, he says, "I have many memories about my father and about growing up with him in our apartment next to the elevated train tracks. For 20 years, we listened to the roar of the train as it passed by his bedroom window. Late at night, he waited alone on the tracks for the train that took him to his job at a factory where he worked the midnight shift. On this particular night, I waited with him in the dark to say goodbye. His face was grim. His youngest son had been drafted. I would be sworn in at 6 the next morning while he stood at his paper cutting machine in the factory. My father had talked about his anger. He didn't want them to take his child, only 19 years old, who had never had a drink or smoked a cigarette, to fight a war in Europe. He placed his hand on my slim shoulders. 'You be careful, son, and if you ever need anything, write to me, and I'll see that you get it.' Suddenly, he heard the roar of the approaching train. He held me tightly in his arms and gently kissed me on the cheek. And with tear-filled eyes, he murmured, 'I love you, my son.' Then the train arrived. The doors closed him inside, and he disappeared into the night. 1 month later, at age 46, my father died. I'm now 76, and as I sit and write this, I once heard Pete Hamill, the New York Times reporter, say that many memories are man's greatest inheritance, and I have to agree. I've lived through four invasions in World War II. I've had a full life with all kinds of experiences, but the only memory that lingers is the night my dad said, "I love you, my son." It's so important to take a moment and be tender with our kids and to tell them that we love them. Even if we don't say it the best way, even if we're not a person of words and it comes hard, I think those words are things that last all of life. To be a great father, a good father, I think we need to be people that are not only tough but also tender. And then lastly, we need to be trustworthy. I think that brings all of them together in some ways. We think about God, that God is one that we can trust. And you think about Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 6 and how God is one that we can trust. A heavenly Father who knows that we need food and knows we need clothes and a place to stay and knows before we even ask. And if God takes care of the birds of the air and the flowers of the field, how much more will he take care of us? We can trust God. We can trust our heavenly Father. And as earthly fathers, we too need to be men that are trustworthy. Listen again to this last section from chapter 4 about being trustworthy. "Listen, my son, accept what I say, and the years of your life will be many. I instruct you in the way of wisdom and lead you along straight paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hampered. When you run, you will not stumble. Hold on to instruction. Do not let it go. Guard it well, for it is your life. Do not set foot on the path of wicked or walk in the way of evildoers. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn from it and go on your way. For they cannot rest until they do evil. They are robbed of sleep till they make someone stumble. They eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. The path of the righteous is the morning sun, shining ever brighter to the full light of day. My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ears to my words. Do not let them out of sight. Keep them within your heart. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life." It's one of the great verses of the Bible. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Great words of wisdom about being trustworthy. When we think about that, those qualities, I think for all of us, it's hard to stretch, and all of us fall short on some, if not all of them, that we need to be men of truth, not just our life, but also sharing the ultimate truth of our life. And we need to be tough and be able to set some boundaries and discipline our kids so they grow with character. We need to be tender and share the moments of love of our life, and we need to be trustworthy. But all of us do fall short, and I think we can see that those qualities are all in our Heavenly Father. And Jesus came to show us life and the character of the Father. And if you think about our Heavenly Father and Jesus' character, he said that he was God in human form, Emmanuel. That Jesus had that quality. First of all, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Not just the small truth, not just the philosophical truth, but the truth of all times. The truth of God's love and God's life shared with us. And Jesus was that tough kind of a carpenter, and he didn't bend to people who didn't have right ways, and he took the whips and cleared out the temple in that moment. But he was also the loving one who invited the children to come to him and share the Father's love and bless them despite being busy. And Jesus was one we could trust as he shared those words with the Father. No matter what our experience in life, we may have had good fathers or not so good fathers, but there are people out there that have been father figures to us that we can really appreciate. And maybe fatherhood is yet ahead of us in our life, and those are lessons that we can learn. Both the lessons of the good lessons and where maybe our parents fell short, and we can try to live with God's strength and God's courage a better life. And for those of us in the mix of it, like myself, by each and every day you try to reach higher and strive, and with God's Holy Spirit to have those qualities so that we can reflect the best love of God in our heavenly life. But there's also a role for each of us, no matter where we are, which is there's hurting kids in our community, kids with broken lives and broken dreams, and we can sort of be the fatherly figures that also come along with them, and whether it's helping them at some sport or helping them school exercise or whatever there is, that relationship that we build can show God's love in a powerful way that heals the hurt of the past. And if we do that with God's love, something precious happens. I'd like to close with this illustration. Charles Francis Adams was a 19th century political figure. He was a diplomat and he kept a diary. And one day he entered this. He wrote, "Went fishing with my son today, a day wasted." His son, Brooke Adams, also kept a diary, which is still in existence to today. And on that same day, Brooke Adams made this entry, "Went fishing with my father, the most wonderful day of my life." The most wonderful day of my life. The biggest thing probably isn't any of those T's, it's time. Time that we spend, time that we pour our lives into our sons and daughters, and time that we tell them we love. And we know that God, our Heavenly Father, took time with us. The most important thing was that Jesus came to show us God's love. The Heavenly Father loves us and wanted to reconcile our lives to Him, our brokenness with God's healing, and did what only Christ could do on the cross, which is to offer His life to pay the penalty for our wrongs and to heal our lives. And know this, that God loves us, God values the time that we spend with Him in prayer, and God wants us to share our time with those we love. Will you join me in prayer? Gracious God, we know that fathers are an important part of our lives, and we as fathers strive to be better fathers, and all of us fall short in some ways. Help us to build the character of our lives in such a way that it reflects You. We pray for forgiveness for our failures and shortcomings and strength for tomorrow and today that we could live ever anew. We pray especially that we would be strengthened by Your image and by Your Holy Spirit that empowers us to love like You love and to live as You showed us how to live. We pray that for all of us, this day would be a day of celebration and help each and every one of us to find a young person in the community that we can share our lives with and to show the character of You, our Heavenly Father, in Your precious holy name. Amen.